Hi, I'm Sean Healy, and you're listening to Tools. Hi, everyone. Sean Healy, personal change agent here, and welcome to episode 42 of Sean Healy Tools, a podcast designed to support entrepreneurial couples, people in business partnership, and anyone looking to have a greater relationship with life. So welcome to episode 42, entitled Elements of Secure Relating. I wanted to put this episode out there because just to assist people in really having clarity as to what secure relating looks like. Having been somebody who's been involved in relationships in the past that are more on the avoidant and anxious attachment side of things, which means there's this constant dance around intimacy, this constant pursuer distancer style relationship, a lack of clarity in communicating emotional needs and a lack of receptiveness in those needs being received, it was quite kind of foreign to me when I first came across the idea that people could have a far more comfortable relationship with intimacy, that it wasn't, relationships didn't have to be these crazy roller coaster arrangements and a constant sort of chasing after your partner or keeping your partner at bay. And so I wanted to be able to kind of put together an episode that helped people to really understand a bit more about what secure relating looks like, especially if you don't have too much familiarity with it. So that way we've got some benchmarks that we can aim for with our partner. And it's important to note that secure relating doesn't mean we're going to be going along swimmingly all of the time. There are always circumstances and demands that are put on people that mean that from time to time, we're not going to be as present with each other as we like to be. We're not going to be able to keep the relationship bond as strong and fresh as we could. But we know that if we're in secure relating dynamics, as quickly as is possible, we're coming back to that good baseline. We're coming back to that good connectivity with our partner. And all relationships go through ebbs and flows, even the best ones. But it's about how do we recover from those moments? How do we reconnect? And how do we get back into a place of presentness with one another? Because there are so many distractions. There are so many things to juggle in life that compete with the time and energy that we want to put into our relationship. So let's go through a couple of things that are quite consistent with the idea of, being in a securely attached relationship. One of those elements is that there's a degree of emotional, the exchange that goes between two people, there's a degree of emotional openness, a degree of emotional attunement and emotional responsiveness. I'm able to read my partner. I'm able to get a sense of when they're in good space, when they're distressed, and I'm able to respond accordingly to support my partner. So when there is an emotive display in the relationship, I'm not freaked out by that. I'm not distancing, or I'm not, I'm able to hold the space. I'm not necessarily rushing in and rescuing my partner, but I am able to be aware. I am able to be empathic, and I'm able to attune to whatever is going on with my partner and offer a degree of skillful support. People who, we can all learn greater emotional attunement and greater skill in terms of managing emotional spaces. But for the most part, I've got an intention that I'm going to be present and do my best to be there. I'm not going to run away. I'm not going to bury myself in work or make myself unavailable. because my partner is going through stuff, you know, and I'm not going to be belittling about that. I'm going to be present. I'm going to be responsive responsive in a healthy way towards my partner. And there's that, just that degree of awareness around, you know, where our partner is at emotionally. And so too that that they're doing the same for us. We feel that we're being emotionally acknowledged in the relationship, that there's a degree of validation for our emotional experience and a degree of support for that. And I think that that's a really, that's one, you know, foundational pillar of secure attaching. Also, another one of these pillars, so to speak, is there's a shared load for emotional engagement. You know, we're not finding that one of us is doing all the chasing, one of us is doing all the initiating, one of us is doing all the, you know, bringing forward ideas for the couple, but that rather that there's a shared, that we're sharing the load as a couple. We're both equally taking initiative to foster connection. We're both, you know, we're both planning activities. And sometimes it doesn't have to be as grandiose as that. We're just seeking out our partner for a cup of tea and a bit of conversation. You know, we're putting down our social media and we're going, hey, you know, I feel like we haven't spoken for a little bit. I'd really like to be, you know, let's just sit and have a conversation, because I'd really like to connect, find out, you know, what's going on for you, or, you know, how are you? I'm interested in what you have to say about the world and what your viewpoint is. You know, we're creating space for that. And you know, it's not, as I say, lopsided, where one person in the relationship is constantly chasing the other and nagging the other for, hey, you never do anything with me. We never spend any time together. Why am I always the one planning events? Why am I always the one seeking you out? You know, we can get into these areas of criticism. And again, it's worthy to note that when we get to a place where we're criticizing, then this too can deteriorate from, you know, this can detract from connection. Rather, you know, the intent is I want to add to connection, but if I come from a place of criticism, then I'm likely to distract and detract from connection. So we're being careful about how we approach that, but also what we notice is that our partner's equally engaged. They're you know, through their behavior, we can see. It's not just words, but we can see actual action around wanting to connect with us and to engage with us. So equal engagement is really important. And that we've also got a kind of an agreed sense of what that looks like. You know, what doesn't work very well is if you're the kind of person who really likes and enjoys engaging with their partner in meaningful ways, or at least in present ways. This doesn't have to be, you know, a whole, circus performance, you know, but just in little ways we're reaching for each other and we're looking to be present and engage. And you might be someone who, you know, your preference is to do that multiple times daily. And if you're partnered up with somebody who could go for days without a meaningful exchange and really doesn't miss it, or they go outside of the relationship to get those exchanges, then this is really going to make things difficult. That would not be secure attaching and secure relating when we're not on the same page with how often we need to reach for each other. And this can be really painful if we're at really different places with that, but also if there's no willingness to make any changes there. What are you talking about? You know, sitting down and having a chat once every 3 days, we don't need any more than that, we're fine. You know, we're met with our request for more connection is met with dismissiveness and a lack of recognition, or almost a belittling, because our partner has a very different expectation. And again, that comes back to emotional attunement too, that we recognize that our partner's is being vulnerable and making a request, and that we can meet that with sensitivity and empathy. But if we're really in different places with how often we need to kind of reach for each other, this can be very, very challenging to bridge that gap. But like I said, not impossible if we've both got an intent to work towards having more and more secure relating and being in a similar range, in a similar zone. We don't have to be exactly alike, but we have to be reasonably close so that we've both got a degree of satisfaction around our emotional needs being met. And the other element of this is, and what underpins a lot of this too, is that we're able to communicate in clear and concise, productive ways. You know, we're able to recognize what our emotional needs are. We're able to ask for those in clear ways rather than kind of hint or withhold. And our partner's able to do the same. We're able to communicate with a degree of openness and clarity about what it is we require. And we're safe in the sense that whilst our partner may or may not in the moment be able to deliver on that, they can certainly hear it in an adult way. And we can have adult exchange around what that might look like or how we might come to a place of solution around that if at the moment, look, I would like more connection, but I know you've got this massive project at work. Okay, so how do we come up with a compromise around that rather than the person turning and raging at you and go, haven't I got enough pressure without you wanting to, you know, badger me about how much time we're spending together? Can't you see that I'm up to my neck in all this kind of stuff? You know, where's your consideration for me? You know, these are things where this is not clear communication. This is not productive communication. This is not communication that leaves us with a sense of connectedness. And even if we're having dispute, we can still stay connected and we can look at those moments where we come away from an exchange with feeling like we know each other a bit better rather than, you know, we've come away feeling like we haven't been hurt at all and we've been belittled or shamed or now we're in, you know, now we're raging at our partner because how dare you? All I want is to spend some time together and you're so focused on your work and you can't even hear me when I make a request. These things really put our relationship, if they continue to repeat consistently over time, they really do wear at the foundation of our intimacy, of our connectedness, and too, you know, also of our passion, because it's very difficult when resentment builds to be passionate and to be present and, be able to enter into playful spaces with our partner. And this leads us to, it overlaps a little bit with the other element that I wanted to cover off, which is what's called distress tolerance. I must thank the wonderful Alan Robarge, relationship coach. I really recommend you have a look at some of his videos on YouTube. They're a real rich resource of helping us to understand ourselves and the things that happen in relationships. He offers wonderful value. But I came across this concept via him of it may or may not be his, it's just where I came across it, which is the idea of our distress tolerance. And distress tolerance, to me, links to some of our self-awareness that when we are distressed, because many miscommunications, both in business and in personal life, you know, when we're under stress, when we're under pressure, this really amplifies the likelihood that something is going to go wrong in our communicational exchanges. And so we need to be really aware of that. And we need to be able to manage our own stress and distress in a way that we're able to own our emotional stuff and we're not going to spray out at others with that. You know, because I'm upset and I'm raging, what that's going to mean is I'm going to rage at my partner rather than being able to start a conversation in a different place and say, look, I just want to acknowledge that right now I'm feeling really unresourceful, I'm feeling really angry, but I don't want to make that about you. I just want to acknowledge that if I'm not coming across, I'm coming across a bit abrupt and a bit terse, I am taking responsibility for how that's coming across. I'm not going to suddenly attack you on something because I'm in an irritable space, but rather I'm able to own my emotions, I'm able to process them. I can ask for help, of course. We don't have to do this entirely on our own, but we do have an awareness of how certain things trigger us, and we also have some awareness as to where the origin of that is, you know, because sometimes when we're absolutely over-responding to a situation in the moment, it's probably because there's elements at play, you know, this is a situation that's triggering past unresolved emotions. So the ability to be able to, manage our expectations, manage our assumptions, manage our disappointment so that we're not attacking our partner out of this kind of distress, but rather we're able to come from a place of adultness, a place of connectedness and openness that says, look, you know, I've just noticed that lately we just haven't been spending enough time together. And I just want to say that I miss you and I'd like to work out, you know, this is not about putting pressure on you, but I really would like to figure out between us, how do we get back to putting a bit more energy into you and I, because that would be lovely. I'd really like that. You know, so it allows us to approach our partner in a different way. It means that we're far less likely to trigger them and we're able to stay in adult productive exchange. So, you know, these things are really important, that, you know, we do have a degree of insecure relating, that there is that emotional openness, there's that emotional responsiveness, that we are both sharing the load for engaging and keeping the relationship strong, that we have a fairly complementary method of and need for each other, in the sense of, you know, like I said, we you know, both of us like to have, you know, two or three moments a day where we're having meaningful connection at minimum, and we know that, you know, there'll be days where you know, life won't afford us that opportunity, but where we can, we've got a very similar kind of connection timetable, so to speak, or connection requirements. And then, of course, you know, we have a degree of emotional awareness and a degree of awareness around what, you know, what distresses us, and that we've got methods for managing that distress so that we're not pushing that all onto our partner. So these are some of the things that these are some of the elements that secure relating is about. And so I hope that this episode has helped to give you some insights into that, helped to give you some benchmarks. If you're the kind of person that with your partner you're doing this most of the time already, then wonderful. And if you're not quite where you want to be on these, then it's having a conversation with your partner and beginning to kind of work towards, well, what, you know, some agreed parameters around what that would look like. You know, what how would we know that we are in this starting to reach more successfully and more continually this kind of space. So I really wish you well in your relational journey. It's something I'm so passionate about, as well as all the other things that we talk about on the show. And, you know, I really was really excited about making this episode. It's a bit more positive than some of the ones that we generate. But I, as I say, I hope you got value out of it, good food for thought, a good opportunity for a discussion with your partner. And once again, thank you for listening, for all of you who've been with the show right the way through. Thank you as always for your support. If you are just, this is your first episode that you're tuning into, welcome. And if you'd like to know how to support the show, you can go to iTunes, download and subscribe, and leave a 5-star review and rating, because it really helps these resources to reach other people. That's what is the most important thing to me. Or you're welcome to reach out and say hi, or give me some ideas for episodes at emergencetraining.com.au. That's the website you can reach me at. And so until we are with each other again, thank you and bye for now.